iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty and today we are joined by Nigel George. And Nigel George is a trust and estate practitioner and he's also a partner at Garner and Hancock Solicitors in Isleworth. Now, his life evolves around head of life planning. He's an experienced private client solicitor, having worked for over 35 years in private practice. He specialises in will preparation, estate administration, creation of trusts, trust administration, inheritance tax, advice and elderly client issues, including lasting powers of attorney and court of protection applications. Nigel has advised a very broad range of clients over the years. He considers that everyone should consider effective tax planning. He has an interest in dementia, mental capacity and end-of-life care and has delivered a number of seminars on these subjects to those in the medical, social care and wider community as well. And so he joins us today right here on iGlobal Radio. Nigel, hello and a very warm welcome to you.
Tony, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you very much indeed. So given the brief introduction that I've just shared with the world, what we want to know all about today is life interest trust. And I must admit, it's a subject that is alien to me, but I'm dying to find out more about it from you. What is a trust and what is this all about?
Well, there are lots of different kinds of trusts out there. People often see them being referred to in the press, and they are talked about in terms of how people can avoid paying inheritance tax and nursing home fees. A lot of these schemes don't necessarily work, but some do, and a life interest trust, which we're going to have a chat about today, does. In terms of what a trust does, it's basically you give your money to some trustees, and they then hold it for the benefit of some beneficiaries. So it's taking something out of your estate and saying to somebody else, look, I want you to look after this money or this house for my children.
So it's a safety net, really, if you want to look at it from that point of view in simple terms.
Yeah.
Okay. We understand that. So, Nigel, we see lots of adverts and the press and the media saying... we see lots of adverts in the press saying that that they are a good way of avoiding inheritance, saying that they're a very good way of avoiding inheritance tax and care home fees when it comes to setting up a trust. Talk us through that a little bit, if you would.
Okay. Well, I mean, there are two kinds of trusts. You can set them up during your lifetime, or they can come into effect when you die in your will. Now, lots of people want to have their cake and eat it. And the tax man has grown very wise about this over the years. So, for example, you will find people saying, oh, put your house in a trust. But if you continue to live in that house, then the tax man will still regard it as yours. And so the trust really doesn't work. Similarly, if you've been told that you're going to need to go into a nursing home, and then you put your house into a trust so that you don't have to pay nursing home fees, the counsellor are going to come along and say, well, you've done that deliberately, and we're going to disregard it, and you're still going to have to pay the nursing home fees. So a lot of these schemes for which people can get charged thousands and thousands of pounds, I had one client who was charged £40,000.
Wow.
You know, if I could charge £40,000 for drawing up a trust, I wouldn't be talking to you, Tony. I'd be on the beach whilst I was talking to you.
Yeah.
They don't work. If it sounds too good to be true, it often is.
Right.
So, you know, giving lots of your money to a tax advisor as a means of reducing your taxable estate is not a good idea.
No, it's not.
So you know, there are some trusts which can work, and life interest trusts, which we're going to chat about today, are one of those.
So I understand the fallbacks and the downfalls of setting up a trust, and these things people don't often think about, as you quite rightly say. So, Nigel, what kind of trusts do actually work, and what should people actually think about, given the fact that it's something that you are an expert in? There are certain things and hidden clauses that we don't know about.
Okay, so a life interest trust in your will, which comes into effect when you pass away, when you die. And normally you have two people, they own a house together. Let's, for argument's sake, refer to them as Bob and Sally. Bob and Sally own a house, and they hold it as what's called tenants in common. So they each have a distinct share in the house. Bob goes and dies, and as opposed to him giving Sally his share of the house outright, he gives her what is called a life interest. Now, that means she can continue to live in the house, but when she dies, or if she has to go into care, then Bob's half of the house goes to his children or whoever else he wants to benefit. And what that means is you only have Sally's half of the house, which is exposed to care home fees.
Okay.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iGlobalNews.com. So these are things that often need to be measured and talked about well in advance. And when it comes to facts and figures, one doesn't really need an accountant. What you need is just good, solid legal advice, knowing where my protection parameters actually lie.
Absolutely. This is not it's not an inheritance tax device, because obviously Sally is continuing to live in the house. She's enjoying the house fully.
Yeah.
But it doesn't fall foul of the local authority saying you're trying to avoid paying nursing home fees, because it's Bob who's giving his half of the house away. And of course, Bob has already died. So it's a really good means of avoiding all the house going in nursing home fees. And there can be other benefits to it as well.
We are talking with Nigel George, who is a partner at the and head of Life Planning Department at Garner and Hancock Solicitors, based in Isleworth. And today we're talking about life interest trusts, and perhaps it's something you've heard about before or you haven't, but we're here to demystify all the hidden little things that lie behind this and understand what life interest trust actually means and what it means to us and our lifestyles. I just wanted to kick off with something here, Nigel, if I may. And does a life interest trust generally kick in later on in life, or should it be something that we should be thinking about in our younger days? I won't say teenage years so much, but the younger years, as it were, as we're developing towards life.
Well, the reason that we call it the life planning department these days is it is all about planning for life. We all tend to have pensions. We all tend to save for the future in our old age. And it's, once you've got some assets or once you've got children, you need to think about making a will.
Yes.
And then you need to think about, what is going to happen if I die, for example, and particularly when people are younger. We talked about nursing home fees, but the other thing that concerns people sometimes is second marriages. So, Bob goes and dies. They're both quite young. Sally meets somebody else. They marry. There are children from the first marriage. And people are often concerned there about their children losing out and everything going to a step parent. So again, if you want to ensure that some of your assets are going to go to your children eventually, then again, having a life interest in your will can be a really good way of dealing with that.
So those are the advantages of making a life interest trust in one's will, and we understand that. Thank you for explaining that. Are there any disadvantages here, Nigel?
Well, you are obviously depriving yourself of some cash. You know, you don't own the whole house when somebody dies. You only own half of it. And for most of us, our house is our biggest asset. Hmm. Having said that, you know, we all need somewhere to live.
Yeah.
And so it isn't necessarily that much of a hardship at the end of the day. Certainly where houses are concerned, you know, you can have life interests in other things as well, but they don't necessarily work that well. For example, if somebody says, well, I give you all my money in Barclays Bank for your life, great. I mean, you can go and you can look at it and you can have the interest, which isn't very much in this day and age, but you can't spend it. I mean, if there's enough in the bank, then you could potentially go and buy a house with it. And then rent the house out if there's a large sum of money. But the trouble with life interest is, what it basically says is it's yours for your life, but when your life comes to an end, you have to give it back.
Is there any way at all, Nigel, whereby you can prevent that from happening, or perhaps even reduce the amount of interest that you're paying on that money?
Well, I mean, the whole basic purpose of a life interest trust is that you are allowing someone to have use of something.
Correct.
Again, let's say if it's money, then it's a question of, well, what kind of income can that money generate? I mean, you can always attach restrictions, and sometimes you can see things where life interests can be brought to an end earlier on if certain conditions arise. So you might say, okay, you can live in my house as long as you keep it in good repair. But if you stop keeping it in good repair, then you have to give it back.
Mm. This is very interesting. And this is where the expertise of yourself come in, because these are sort of things that we often overlook when it comes to setting up a life interest trust. So when it comes to inheritance tax, does it actually save us any money, or would it save me inheritance tax in setting up a life interest trust at all, Nigel?
No, it's not really an inheritance tax device, but it's important to bear in mind how the law looks at people who are married and people who are not married.
Okay.
So if you are married or in a civil partnership, then assets passing between spouses or civil partners are exempt from inheritance tax. However, where you have a couple who are not married and you create a life interest,
yes,
then it can cause inheritance tax problems to arise. As I say, the two main issues here is that it's not an inheritance tax vehicle.
No.
Having said that, you know, you can, if you've got a house and you've got kids, you can leave assets up to £1 million free of inheritance tax. So for quite a lot of people, inheritance tax isn't an issue. And as I say, it's a good way of making sure that something gets passed on to your children.
Nigel, does everybody have to pay inheritance tax then? Is it applicable to everyone?
Depends how much money you leave. The government some years ago introduced this. You can leave £1 million free of inheritance tax. And I often see people, children, and go, yes, right. So your parents, you've had two parents, they've left you a house, you're their child. They can leave you £1 million free of inheritance tax, but you're a single person, you have no children, and therefore all you get is the basic allowance of £325,000.
Okay, so there is a threshold on it. We understand that.
Yeah.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iGlobalNews.com. We are talking with Nigel George, who is the partner and head of life planning department at Garner and Hancock Solicitors. And today we're talking about life interest trusts and how they work for us to our advantage. Now, Nigel, I understand in order to make a life interest trust, one has to own one's own property in a particular way. Can you talk us through that?
Okay. So there are two ways in which you can own a house. Beneficial joint tenants, which means that you both own the whole house. What's the best way of looking at that? I suppose if you look at these large things like these large Mars bars that you can get where you get two pieces of Mars bar in the same packet.
Yes.
So you both own the whole Mars bar, and if one of you dies, then the survivor gets to eat the whole Mars bar. Alternately, you can own that Mars bar as what is called tenants in common. So you each own your own section, your own half of the Mars bar, and therefore when you die, you can then leave your share as you wish. Lots of assets don't pass under your will. They pass outside your will. And where property is owned jointly as beneficial joint tenants, it just automatically passes to the survivor. It's a bit like a joint bank account. If you have a joint bank account, one of you dies, the other person owns all the money in the bank account. They don't need to go and get a grant of probate. And whatever you've put in your will doesn't really matter. The asset passes automatically.
Okay.
But if you hold as tenants in common, then you can leave your share. So it's really important that if you're wanting to set up a life interest trust, and I've just been trying to say this to a client today, it's really important to get this right. If you want to set up a life interest trust, you have to sever your joint tenancy and hold as tenants in common. It's not particularly complicated, but it's like all these things, you've got to get it right.
So we understand that from a tenant's point of view, that you have to keep the property in repair or good repair, as you quite rightly said. So what happens if a life tenant wants to move a new partner in? Do they suddenly become owners of that particular part of the property as well?
No, they don't. But it's something to think about. I mean, as a life tenant, you can invite who you want to live with your property.
Yeah.
But you know, this can cause problems with children. Who you know, particularly it tends to be the second marriage setup where, say, a spouse has died, and then the surviving spouse remarries. And they move in a new partner. Sometimes children aren't that happy about it. Or particularly if you have a situation on a second marriage, even more so, where, you know, new spouse, I mean, often, you know, somebody doesn't want their spouse to be out on the street, so they'll give them a life interest in the property. And then this step parent goes and moves somebody else into the house. And the children really often don't like it because they've got two people in the house, not paying any rent. It's, as far as they're concerned, it's their parents' house and it should be their house. So you have to think about these things.
It's awfully complicated. It's really complicated.
It is. But again, with a little bit of planning and thinking ahead, you can address some of these issues. And sometimes, people will say, well, you know, if my new husband or wife forms a new relationship or remarries, well, then their right to live in the house comes to an end.
Okay, that's understood.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
So once we talk about life interest trusts with you here today, Nigel, can they actually be useful in second marriages? And I know you mentioned it briefly in our discussion already today, but when it comes to a second marriage, how can we use life interest trusts to our advantage? We've talked about the many downfalls and the pitfalls that might surround this if you get bad advice or don't address certain issues, and you've been remarkably accurate in the way that you've described that to us. But what about the usefulness of life interest trusts for second marriages?
Well, it's a really good idea because, as I say, you know, somebody loses a spouse, they remarry, they've got children from their first marriage, and you know, they have those divided loyalties. They've got a new husband or wife, but they've also got kids from an earlier marriage. How can they accommodate both of them? Well, they can give the new spouse the right to live in the house during their lifetime. But when their lifetime comes to an end, or if they need to move into a nursing home, then the life interest comes to an end and the house then can go to the children. And that would, in those kind of cases, it would be the whole house which would go to the children. So, you know, none of the house is going in nursing home fees, and the children get the house at the end of the day. One of the issues which is often overlooked in those cases is keeping the property in repair.
Yes.
You know, if you're a life tenant and you've only got the right to live in the house during your lifetime and the house needs a new roof, you might think, well, why should I pay for a new roof? It's not my house, which is, you know, a perfectly good point. And so you do need to think about those kind of things. And it might be you will say, okay, we don't expect you to pay all the cost of the repairs, but hey, you're living in the house rent-free, therefore, why don't you pay half the repair and, you know, my children can pay the other half.
Indeed.
But again, you need to plan for those kind of things and you need to provide for those in your will so it's covered. Because otherwise, you know, you have a situation where a house falls into disrepair and that's not in anyone's interest.
No, everyone ends up being the loser. Very well explained, Nigel. Thank you for that.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
Nigel George, you are the Trust and Estate Practitioner and Head of Planning at Garner & Hancock Solicitors. And given the discussion that we've had today on life interest trusts, if people want to find out more and get your advice and find ways of moving forward with their estate and properties, in the interest of what we've discussed today, how can they get in touch with you and find out more about what we've discussed?
Simplest thing is to go to the website, Google Garner & Hancock Solicitors. We're at www.garner-hancock.co.uk. We're always happy to have a quick word with people over the phone. We have lots of free guides on life interest trusts and powers of attorney that we will happily send to clients totally free of charge, and so that they can have some basic information. And we're always happy to have a chat with people and try and explain what's what. And we're always upfront with what we're going to charge people. We don't believe in sending people big bills that they don't expect. So we will always agree costs upfront so you know exactly what it is you're getting yourself into.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.